You see, Proverbs tells us in chapter 6, verse 34, "For jealousy enrages a man, and he will not spare in the day of vengeance. He will not accept any ransom, nor will he be content, though you give many gifts." And jealousy, it burns like fire. And oh boy, you see it now with Saul. It gets pretty bad, but oh, does it destroy? It's like a raging fire throughout the land. And you don't want to get in its way. Watch out, Saul on the rampage because of jealousy.
As we gather, may your spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came.
Aloha kakou e komo mai. Welcome to As We Gather, the Bible teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Honolulu, with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. Today, Pastor Bill continues in 1 Samuel chapters 18 and 19.
We'll be blessed because we came. You will be blessed because we came.
David has just killed Goliath. He's got his head that he's bringing into the camp. And Saul is so impressed, he says, "Bring this boy into my court. I want him," and he attaches David to himself. Now, what you see in this whole scenario, David is just a shepherd boy, but he's a young man that has a heart for God. You know, it's really something when you see young people, maybe teenagers, maybe high schoolers, even college age, and they're so zealous for the Lord. And they're more zealous than some of the adults, some of their parents. I love it when I see that. And here's David. He's more zealous. He's got more courage than all the soldiers there in the camp with Saul. And so we're seeing that. And Jonathan was one of the leading men of Israel, one of the leading soldiers. He began battles, and he's the one that encouraged. But even Jonathan is backing off when this Philistine, Goliath, is marching in the Valley of Elah and choosing off the best warrior there in Israel. Little David comes out and takes down Goliath. But what that did to Jonathan, it reinvigorated him and his courage. And so we find here in chapter 18, verse 1, "Now it came about when he had finished speaking to Saul," that's David speaking to Saul, "that the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David. And Jonathan loved him as himself. And Saul took him that day and did not let him return to his father's house. Then Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. And Jonathan stripped himself of his robe that was on him and gave it to David, and his armor, including his sword and his bow and his belt." David, the shepherd boy, is going to go into the court of Saul. He didn't have any clothes. He was a shepherd. So notice what Jonathan does. He just gives him garments. I'm sure being the king's son, he had a closet full of garments. But I think that's kind of interesting. But notice what happens with Jonathan. He saw the fearless faith in David. He saw the humble speech of David. This uncircumcised Philistine defying the God of Israel. And David said to Goliath, "You come to me with sword and spear and javelin. I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of of Israel, the nation Israel." And he took him down. Very humble David was. And Jonathan admired him. He admired him. He saw something in David that he once had himself. And he aspired now to what David had. What was dormant in Jonathan now came alive in Jonathan. He might have thought, you know, I used to be like that. I used to be like that guy. What's happened? He was around unbelief. He was around carnality. He was around things that were that would really lower your faith and lower your courage in the Lord. And now he saw something in David that brought him up. You know, that spiritual bond, that bond that David and Jonathan had, it was a spiritual bond that's far stronger than any natural interest. You know, before I was a Christian, I was a surfer, and I had a real bond with surfers. You know, and those are the guys I related to. Maybe golfers, the same thing. Maybe coin collectors. I used to be a coin collector when I was a kid. But you see, this is far stronger than any natural interest you might have. You find people when they put on, trade shows, maybe auto shows, those that are just all into, you know, automobiles. You know, they'll go to that, and that's their whole life. Or maybe motorcycle shows or whatever, that's their life. But you see, a spiritual bond is far greater than that. And you see, this bond grew stronger and stronger through time and through trials. By the end of you find that by the end of this relationship with David and Jonathan, when Jonathan died, David lamented, I loved him and I had a love for him greater than the love of women. Now, obviously, the homosexual community wants to camp on that. But you know, to the carnal, perverse mind, everything they see is perverse. No, he's simply saying sexual love, yeah, with a woman, yeah, with my wives, yeah. But nothing like that love, that bond that I had. That bond, that spiritual bond with Jonathan. So there was something that was really to be admired. And now when he gives him the garments, his garments, it's a sign of identification. And one commentator said it's the second self. So here, as people saw from the back, they go, hey, Jonathan, Jonathan. And he turns around, oh, it's David. Kind of the second self. They would identify David with Jonathan and Jonathan with David because he gave him his clothes. You see one, you'd see the other. He loved David, so he gave him his garments, and David loved him, so he wore his garments. When somebody gives you a piece of clothing and you wear it, it honors them, and it identifies with them. And that's what's happening here. Well, it goes on, verse 5, so David went out wherever Saul sent him and prospered, and Saul set him over the men of war. And it was pleasing in the sight of all the people and also in the sight of Saul's servants. And it happened as they were coming, when David returned from killing the Philistine, that the women came out of all the cities of Israel singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tambourines, with joy, and with musical instruments. And the women sang as they played and said, Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. Then Saul became very angry, for this saying displeased him, and he said, they have ascribed to David 10,000s, but to me they have ascribed thousands. Now what more can he have but the kingdom? And Saul looked at David with suspicion from that day on. Oh, how the mighty have fallen. You know, it's not just in their death, because David does lament over that when Saul and Jonathan die. But you see that fall already. It just gets worse and worse. You see, God is putting down one and he's raising up another. He's raising up the man after his own heart. And Saul is going down, down, down. And it's interesting that Saul is becoming just like those who opposed him when he was anointed king. And not just like them, but he's becoming worse than them. Remember in chapter Was it chapter 10 that he was anointed king? And chapter 10, verse 27. Remember, after he was anointed, it says the valiant men whose hearts God had touched were with him. But then in verse 27, but certain worthless, or men of Belial, men of the devil, certain worthless men said, how can this one deliver us? And they despised him and did not bring him any present, but he kept silent. In other words, they kept their distance, they despised him, and then after he won over Nahash, then the other valiant men said, hey, bring out those who said, you know, these things about Saul, and let's put him to death. And Saul said, no, don't touch him. This is a day of victory. But you know, Saul has become just like those guys. Now David gets a victory. What does Saul do? He despises him. He makes him his enemy. What a horrible situation. Why? Because he's a jealous man. And jealousy is a very hard taskmaster. And I would say that can be something we have to deal with. You may be on a very minor level, or you may be on a very major level. You see, for Saul, it was a major taskmaster in his sight. And really, when you begrudge and you despise one that God is using, it creates not only strife in the camp, but literally insanity. If you cultivate and you nurse envy and jealousy long enough, it'll really have an effect on your psyche. It'll have an effect on your person. And literally, it'll create insanity. It did with Saul. It does with a lot of people. And really, it's evidence that person is without the Holy Spirit. Remember, the Lord departed from him, and an evil spirit came upon Saul. But that is an evil thing. And whenever we're jealous, even in trace elements in our life, we need to bring that before the Lord. It's not something that maybe you can get rid of yourself, but certainly when you see it, you can say, God, forgive me. I hate this in my life. I don't want to be this. This was the old person. This was the old Bill, the old man. Lord, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and was delivered up for me. That is not me, Lord, so kill that, destroy that. And then start praying for that person that you're jealous of. It's the only way to get rid of it. You see, you can't by resolve get rid of it. You see, Proverbs tells us in chapter 6, verse 34, for jealousy enrages a man, and he will not spare in the day of vengeance. He will not accept any ransom, nor will he be content, though you give many gifts. And jealousy, it burns like fire. And oh boy, you see it now with Saul. It gets pretty bad, but oh, does it destroy? It's like a raging fire throughout the land, and you don't want to get in its way. Watch out, Saul on the rampage because of jealousy. Horrible situation. Verse 10 goes on. Now it came about on the next day that an evil spirit from God came mightily upon Saul, and he raved in the midst of the house while David was playing the harp with his hand as usual, and a spear was in the hand of Saul. And Saul hurled the spear, for he thought, I will pin David to the wall. But David escaped from his presence. Now, Saul has opened the door. He's opened the door to an evil spirit. Just like Judas. Judas was with Jesus. He was one of the disciples. Jesus gave him authority over evil spirits. He went two by two doing miracles. I mean, incredible things. And yet somehow it didn't take with Judas. And he opened himself up to betray Jesus, and Satan came into him. We notice here Saul opened the door to evil. and evil came into him. Remember what Samuel said to Saul in chapter 15, verse 23, that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft? You're opening yourself up to demons, Saul, by being rebellious against God. The Bible says if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This is earthly, natural, and demonic. Jealousy, bitterness, rebellion. There's demonic spirits that want to somehow captivate you. Now, I'm not necessarily saying you'll be possessed. That could be a possibility, but certainly harassed and certainly keep you in that state of jealousy and bitterness and keep you in that state and that condition as it did Saul. That was James 3, 14 and 15, that bitter jealousy. Well, verse 12 says, now Saul was afraid of David, for the Lord was with him, but had departed from Saul. Therefore, Saul removed him from his presence and appointed him as his commander of a thousand. And he went out and came in before the people. And David was prospering in all his ways, for the Lord was with him. When Saul saw that he was prospering greatly, he dreaded him. But all Israel and Judah loved David. And he went out and came in before the Lord. He made him commander because he thought if he goes out into battle, maybe he'll die in battle. You know, that's why he did that. He didn't want to promote him. That wasn't the idea. But he thought he might die in battle. And notice what jealousy did to Saul. It can keep us from enjoying God's blessings. It can keep us from enjoying all that God is doing. Now, Saul is king of the kingdom, and notice what God is doing in the kingdom through his commander David. And yet Saul's not rejoicing. You see, if we get jealous of other people, it keeps us from enjoying what God is doing in our life, and in our family, and in our ministry, and in our church. Remember when Jacob took two wives, Rachel and Leah? Well, it really wasn't by Jacob's doing. It was by the girl's father, Laban's doing. Had Leah go into the dark tent. Jacob thought he was getting Rachel, but it was Leah. And then later he gave him Rachel. But the Bible says that Jacob loved Rachel. And he didn't. He didn't love Leah as much as he loved Rachel. He gave all the attention to Rachel. So Leah, for the rest of her life, was jealous and strove to have that place with her husband, Jacob, and she never really got it. And so she never enjoyed the blessings that God had given her. Oh, if I have children, he'll love me. But every time she had a child, you know, nothing changed. But do you realize the blessing that God gave Leah? And not so much Rachel. Rachel had the blessing of her husband's love. But what did Leah have? Well, in one sense, she was a little bit more distanced from her husband. She didn't have what she wanted, and she was jealous, and she never enjoyed what God gave her. God gave her a son, Levi. The one of whom the priesthood would come. That's a big deal. The priest has come through your child, Leah, the Levites. And you know, he gave her another son. You know who that was? Judah. Judah, through whom the Messiah will come. Leah, you're so blessed, but you're not enjoying God's blessing upon your life because you're so stirred up with the jealousy because Rachel is getting a little more attention from the husband than you are. And you know where Rachel was buried? She wasn't buried with Jacob, but Leah was buried in Jacob, with Jacob, in Jacob's tomb. And yet she never enjoyed the blessings that God had for her. Saul never enjoyed what God was doing in the kingdom because he was so jealous of David. It almost happened to Peter as well. Remember after Jesus was resurrected in John 21, where the Lord said, when you were young, you went wherever you wanted to go, Peter, but when you're older, men are going to take you and bind you and lead you where you do not want to go. He was speaking of his death. And Peter didn't necessarily want to hear that. And he looked at John, he said, but Jesus, what about him? What about this one? And Jesus said, Peter, what is that to you? If I want him to remain until I return, what is that to you? You follow me. You see, Peter could have lost all that God wanted to do by keeping his eyes on one of the other disciples. And you see, we lose the blessings that God has for us as we start putting our eyes on one another and go, well, they're blessed a lot more than me, and so I don't know if, you know, God, I want what they have. And so we totally miss the blessings that God has for us. We need to appreciate every little blessing that God gives us right in the now, right now. What has God given you? Right now. Oh, thank you, Lord. Right now. You know, and just put that old jealousy and envy on the altar of God and say, Lord, you consume that. That is not me, and I don't want that to be me. Verse 17 goes on, then Saul said to David, here is my older daughter Merab. I will give her to you as wife. Only be a valiant warrior for me and fight the Lord's battles. For Saul thought, my hand shall not be against him, but let the hand of the Philistines be against him. But David said to Saul, who am I and what is my life or my father's family in Israel that I should be the king's son-in-law? So it came about at the time when Merab, Saul's daughter, should be given to David, that she was given to Adriel, the Mehalathite, for a wife. Go fight my battles. Go fight the battles of Israel, David. He's scheming again. He's scheming. Maybe he'll die in battle, but it didn't happen. He didn't die in battle. So what does Saul do? He breaks his promise and gives his daughter to another. Again, remember the making of a man of God? God had anointed him king, but now God is making him a king. Sometimes God can give you a position, he can give you a calling, and then for the rest of your life, he's developing in you a fit person for that calling. And that's what's happening with David.
And that's where we'll finish on today's edition of As We Gather with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. This was a portion of a weekly Bible study from the book of 1 Samuel 18 and 19. You can hear this message again by visiting CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com and take advantage of our media archive. We really appreciate any support from our listeners. Your encouragement and prayer go a long way for this ministry. If you'd like to support the As We Gather media ministry, you can give securely online at CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com. And for those who would like to be a regular sponsor, you can set up a recurring gift on the schedule of your choice. May the Lord richly bless you as you walk with Him today.
As we gather, may your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. As we gather, may your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin, we'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came. As we gather, may your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin, we'll be blessed because we came, yeah. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.
Next time on As We Gather, we'll continue in 1 Samuel 18 and 19. Until then, aloha and agape.
We'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.